calls and give her money on the side. No matter what you do, she's never satisfied. Ain't that just like a woman? Ain't that just like a woman? Yes, that's just like a woman. They'll do it every time.
I'd like to call to order the design review meeting of July 11th. Can we have a roll, please? Roll call, please.
Thank you. Member Clinton. Member Shaler.
Present.
Member Whalen.
Here.
Vice Chair Smith.
Here.
Chair Branch.
Here. All right, now we'll rise and do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, let's start with our administrative agenda and go through the minutes. Can I get a motion for that?
I will move that the minutes be approved as submitted.
Second.
Discussion?
I also would like to thank the recording secretary for doing such a thorough job on the comments to the fire department. I thought they were first rate.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, one thing I wanted to note.
They need to note that I was absent.
So you'll abstain from the vote?
Or wait a minute, no, I'm sorry.
It says...
Oh, June 22nd, I thought it was last meeting.
That is...
It was last meeting, it says absent.
Yeah.
Oh, I see, I didn't see that, my mistake. Okay, thank you.
All right, Planning Director report?
Did we get a vote on that?
We did.
You did, okay, sorry, I didn't hear. Okay, good afternoon. We just want to give you an update on the structure of the board, the makeup, and I don't have a lot to report. This matter needs to be brought to the City Council. I believe our city clerk's working on that. Because right now, the makeup puts us in a pretty precarious situation with just two residents, Board Member Smith and Shaler. And if they are absent, then we don't have a quorum. So thank you for attending today, and very crucial that you do let me know ahead of time if you're not going to make the meeting. So we'll see if the City Council can adjust some things for us during recruitment. And then the other thing is just that we have one meeting in August. That's August 8th, so the second meeting is canceled. Okay, that's it.
Noted. Okay.
Can we make an announcement to people that you are recruiting? Maybe the end?
Okay, yeah, we can.
Would that help?
Okay, sure.
In case people are at home watching, they...
Sure. That's a good idea. Review of agenda and projected agenda.
Everything on your agenda is being heard today, and again, August 8th will be your next meeting.
Great. Thank you. Item D, public comment. Anyone in the public wanting to speak on an item not on today's agenda? The speaker slip? Be welcome to speak at this time. Anyone? Seeing none, we'll go to the next section. Item E1. Madam Secretary?
Item E1 is sign review, curvature monument signs located at 6500 Hollister Avenue, APN 073-330015, case number 17-067 DRB.
All right, I'll go ahead and handle that one. We reviewed that, and as it turns out, the what is being applied for the three different signages, and they were showed the existing versus proposed, and the square footage of what is going to be proposed is the same, no change in lighting. So it's pretty much a like for like as a result of some rebranding that is occurring. So we would voted 2-0 that the board, the full board, approved this.
Okay, great.
And then I was late, so I wasn't there for the first one, but I came in for item E2.
Mr. Chair, we do need to take action on the first item.
Oh, you want to vote first? Board. Okay. All those in favor for item E1?
Aye.
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 Can we get a second from
the
board?
Okay, yeah, I'll make a motion to approve.
There we go.
Okay. Okay.
Item E1.
And I'll second the motion.
Okay. And all those in favor?
Aye.
And one abstention.
One abstention.
Okay. Item E2, which was 8082 Coromar Drive, case number 17070 DRB. I was present for that one. And exactly the same as like what Bill said for the first application. It's basically a like for like. They're changing a little bit of the lettering, but the on the lower part of the sign. But they reduced the height of the lettering from 5 to, I think, 4.5. And outside of that, everything is the same. And so the sign review committee voted 3-0 this time to recommend that the board grant them design approval.
Okay, great.
Motion to approve.
And I'll second.
Okay. Good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Great. That will take us to item F1 on our conceptual calendar.
Item F1 is the McDonald's second point of sale and site improvements located at 146 South Fairview Avenue, APN 071-051-025-016, case number 16063 DRB.
Is the applicant here? Does the applicant want to participate?
How about declarations while you're...
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Same. Declarations?
I have not visited the site since the previous visit and no ex parte discussions.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Brian, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So you might remember seeing this a couple months ago. Previous version included some exterior changes that the applicant's no longer doing. So now the project is the small addition for the cashier in the same spot they had proposed it before, and then a second point of sale for the drive-through. And then so they've adjusted the landscaping from the last time you saw it, because the original proposal involved removing the porticature over the spot where you pick up the food. Since that's now staying, they had to adjust it a bit. I believe they also added a couple of trees that I'll let the applicant specify. But other than that, it's that's the project. So I can take questions on it. The previous staff report was attached to the in your packet, in case you have anything to reference there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you can introduce yourself to the record.
Yes,
and then
my name is Tom.
Turn your, you need to press the button on the, there you go.
Okay. My name is Tom Lee. I'm an architect at Design UA. I'm a project manager. And do you want me to explain? Okay, so basically scope of work is the drive-through cashier booth. Extend out 84 square feet. The reason for extend the cashier out, because it's drive-through optimized, so efficient. So if you have the cashier and you pay and you go to present pick up, in order to fit another car in between, so more efficient for the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. The side-by-side, talk about it? We already talked about the side-by-side. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, the existing drive-thru is now single lane. What we're doing is just making to second order point in order for efficient going to drive through, and I believe that we already go through the fire department turning radius, and also we did provide 249 square feet of landscape area include. I'm not sure if the landscape is here, but we go ahead. We're happy to provide landscape. I don't think it's here, but...
is there somewhere you can point out where that is on that?
Well, there's a...
There is a landscape.
Yeah, sheet A0.1, yep. I think, right. Is what you want.
Landscape area this way, and also in front of it right here. All this is a landscape object. Right. So we provide landscape in this area, this area, this area, and this area also called out right here, you know what it is, and then also in front area, right in this area right here, and over this side. So that's all the landscape we asked to add more landscape into the project.
Okay. Yeah, there's a net increase in landscaping from existing.
Were any mature trees being removed as a result of the new layout?
I believe it's only two of them, and then we add it back in. Would be this one right here and right here before the single length here. Mm-hmm. From here, we add another one, another tree here. Also, we add more tree on this side.
When I look at the plans, it looks like there are three trees being removed. Scott, can you flip to C1? When I look at the plans, this tree is being removed. And as you say, replaced in this area, this tree is being removed, and this tree is being removed. So there are three total with one being replaced. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I had a question about circulation. So if I understand correctly, let's see, is there a better, I guess,
you want to look at proposed?
Yes, please. Okay. So if I understand correctly, there are two order stations
right
for the, like here and for this lane and this lane. And then this is the window where we'll pay for the order and then pick up the order over here.
Right.
Okay. So when, like say, when things get really busy and they have two lines of vehicles going through here, how do they resolve themselves back into one? Do they just merge with each other here as they go through this way?
Right.
Okay.
But in a way, they have the monitor. So a secret, you know, this cargo.
Yes.
It's never going to be
okay
the same time.
Okay.
Know?
So they have, oh, I understand.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we're on that sheet. Could I ask another circulation question?
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering. Let me see. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We'll give you the fancy one.
Okay, here's, you've got people potentially driving in here and parking and walking into the restaurant. How do you ensure that people who are coming in this way break up into two separate groups here versus people just trying to beat the group and then cutting across into here? Some sort of colored pavement or you know, just I'm thinking just in terms of traffic management. Inevitably, there will be people who know that there's two points there to get to.
Is this a curb?
No, that's a color.
Is it color painted?
Painted point? Yellow, yeah.
It's just a stripe?
And then it, we'd be happy to put a curb in there, but we've been doing it. We don't want a curb because it's flexible. They change their mind. They might want to go just to go in.
Yeah, people would trip on it as well.
Yeah.
So, Bill, do you have any other questions?
I did have one on the landscaping plan. I guess
sure.
If you could go back to that one. As I was doing my site visit, it seemed that there was a lack of a nice shade tree.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the planting island to the east and to the north. It's shown there, but I don't think it exists on this, on the existing. Is that one that's being put in?
Let me look at the civil plan.
This one, right back here.
It called out.
Is this not there?
They call it out.
We called out existing, but apparently, I believe it's got to be new, you know.
Well, yeah, it shows on the existing plan, but it's really faint.
Here's where there should be a tree.
Yeah,
is like right here.
Right.
Yeah. But there is a very faint curb line right through there.
Yeah, there's kind of an open area there where there really does need to be an additional shade tree to be complementary to the rest of the parking lot area back there. I think that would be an improvement.
They have one.
Yeah, I saw that on there, and that would be a good place to put it.
Another small technical point. There's some confusion on your legend here. T2 is listed twice, and yet you have T3 trees. I think this second T2 is really what your T3s are. That's just a minor red line correction.
Yes, correct.
But it does tend to confuse what's existing and what's proposed.
And so what we're saying is T3
is not shown on the legend. It's not explained over here.
Right.
T3 probably is referring to those sycamore trees that are existing, yeah?
That's these.
To remain.
Oh, got it.
See, so...
So they really need a T4.
It really is an existing legend.
Although the T2 says new.
Oh yes, yeah. So it is confusing. What's existing, what's new, and the title.
Okay. So this is actually new.
Right.
Okay. Bill, do you have any other questions?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I do. A couple questions actually for staff and then for the applicant. Was there any necessity of a traffic analysis for any of this kind of requeuing, and does the Planning Commission take a look at this, or is this it?
Yeah, during the completeness review, there was discussions at length about the traffic analysis and what effects the second order point specifically we're going to have. So, that has gone on at length, and so, yes, we'll be a part of their packet to the decision maker.
And the Planning Commission is the decision maker?
Well, this is a development plan amendment, so that's one option, but there's also the ordinance does allow directors to approve development plan amendments.
Okay.
So that decision will be made in the future as to which decision maker it goes to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just also want to say I appreciate all the comments from the last meeting being available there, because there were a lot of comments. And I'd like to ask the applicant, why did you withdraw the proposal for the facade improvements? Was it because the comments chased you off, or because you didn't have an alternative look? Or?
Well, I did one project in Santa Barbara. It's they wanted a missing style. So what happened is the owner decided to do facing. Phase one would be doing improvement up the drive-through. Phase two would be the building, separate them.
Okay. At a later time?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I might be a budget or something, but we do the one right now for City of Santa Barbara, and it happened to be mission style with tile and, everything,
Thank you. And that explains that for me. I appreciate that. And then lastly for staff, who verifies that the landscaping that we've now discussed today will be installed as per specifications?
Yeah, as with all projects, that's part of the inspection process during and toward the end of construction. Landscaping is usually at the end.
Okay.
But that's the same. It's all projects, yeah.
So in total, 3 trees will be removed, and how many trees will be planted that do not exist there?
Well, T2 right here, one,
two, three, four.
This is not here. So
yeah, that's a new tree.
I think it have to be like 5.
Okay, so it's acknowledged that there should be one back there.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. That were all my questions.
Tom, do you have questions?
No, I'm all done with my questions.
No.
Questions, Karis?
Okay, I'm a little confused. Oh, it does say
your mic needs to be on, by the way.
Okay, so you're going to remove the one sycamore and the two little cinnamondii there, this big one?
That's correct.
Is there, and that is so you can move the parking over? The parking thing that is there now?
The drive aisle.
The drive aisle.
This is a drive.
Oh, it's now become a thing. I see. Okay. Okay.
I have no questions. Bill, do you have comments you'd like to give?
Well, I guess we didn't have certainty as to what kind of style that we were looking for when the facade improvements. So I guess I was a little disappointed to see the facade improvements withdrawn. Was hoping that we'd have been able to work something that would have been a real improvement, and that's not to denigrate the current look of the current facility. If there is a second phase, and hopefully there will be, hopefully we can work collaboratively to make it as good as it can be. And I'm willing to make a motion for project approval as presented.
Chair, I think we're here for conceptual until the project gets approved, then I'll come back
right.
for design.
Okay, then that's just my comments.
Okay. Comments, Tom?
Sure. My comments is overall I can support this project. I think that's a good idea having the two order stations, because the only other place that I've had direct experience with would be a competitor of yours that's over on Turnpike. But they have the same arrangement where you have one window, when you pay at the first window, you pick up your food at the second. But they only have the one order thing, so they have to have people walking around doing it, you know, which is kind of awkward. So I can support this.
Great. Dennis, comments?
See, my comments, I think the additional landscaping out front on the west side will enhance the building significantly. I don't have much of a problem with the existing style, so that quite apart. Two other comments. I believe this is a pedestrian connection here. It looks like it just needs to be worked out a little more carefully, like you have a tiny bit of landscaping. I'm not sure about that right there. The one bigger comment is this planting area for this tree is being reduced now, and if that's a big mature tree, I think that's a problem. It shows it as being a larger planter on the existing plan. And trees really need at least 60% of their root ball exposed, and I don't think that'd be a very good idea to reduce it even farther when it's already too small and impacted.
Thank you. Again, so
that's this tree right here.
Karis, any comments?
Yeah, I would agree with the not reducing it down, and the tree removals and putting in and being clear about which trees are which and what you're going to replace them with, because those ones stay small, don't they? So they'll never grow up to be big, mature trees. The replacement trees, as far as I can tell. So those would be my concerns for approval, I guess.
Okay. Conceptually, with everything happening, I agree with those comments. My two cents is that I'm fine with this. Conceptually, I could support this. I just want to speak to the addition, just architecturally, and just kind of show it just for the record. I think what you're proposing is fine, and I don't have a problem with it. I just wanted to kind of get that on record. So, okay. So at this point, it goes.
Clarify one thing.
Yeah.
So if you can go back to the landscape plan, I guess, it's probably the best. So going back to the comment about the planter near the angled, so the reason that was changed was because the existing circulation aisle, actually, the aisle width isn't large enough to meet our current regs. So in an effort to try and make it more realistic for cars to get out of those spaces, they angled them a bit so that it meets our regs, basically, for that angle of a spot. So I'm not sure if that would amend your comment or if you had a suggestion for, because I don't think it would be best to, you know, straighten those parking spots out again, because then we'd go back to the same problem that exists now, which is the aisle width isn't big enough. for a 90-degree parking spot.
Where are they at in their required parking?
They're well overparked, yeah.
So why not eliminate those? Why not just get rid of them and make that whole thing landscaping?
One or both on either side of the tree to really increase the root ball area.
As a suggestion.
If you have that discretion, I'd highly recommend.
I believe the parking generation is only 9 spaces for this size restaurant. So they have well more than that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. No, 9.
They have 90 spaces.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that.
They're reducing some. But
so consider that.
Great.
All right. And so now.
That's a good comment. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. So do we need to make a motion on this or no? All right. With that, we complete our conceptual review. Comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Member, for your support.
Okay. Now let's move to item G1, Madam Secretary.
Item G1 is design review. It's the Koch facade improvements located at 5979 Hollister Avenue, APN 071-111-002, case number 1766 DRB.
Declarations, please.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Sam?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, and while I was there yesterday afternoon, I had an opportunity to tour the site with the property owner, Mr. Cook. Okay.
Hi, Brian. Welcome.
Hello again. So I'm filling in for Daryl Mimick, who's the project planner on this one. Fairly simple project today. We have the former Sam's To You restaurant that had previously occupied this space. The proposed use for the space now is office. So in conjunction with that, they would like to make some interior facade improvements to bring the building a little bit more in line with our Old Town regs. So the property includes a 3,295 square foot one tenant building on an 8,276 square foot lot in a C2 zone district. And there won't be any square footage added. And the existing small landscape strip that's in the front there is proposed to remain. And again, the Old Town Heritage District guidelines do apply here, and I believe they were attached to your packet for review. So that completes what I have to say. I can answer any questions. Otherwise, Tony can present the project.
Chair, I did have
one question before we get started.
For staff, okay.
Yeah, this is noted in the project description as a request for conceptual/design review. What does that mean exactly? Because we just had conceptual review, but this also includes design review, so that means what else can happen?
Yeah, it gives you the option to continue it with comments, or if you feel that there's enough detail in the plans as presented today, the board can grant design review approval.
Mr. Chair, the difference between this project and the previous one needs to have an action, a discretionary action, and this is just coming for design only.
This is a ministerial project, yeah.
Okay. Tony?
Yeah.
Oh, turn the mic on, please.
Here? There we go. My name is Tony Zekes. I'm the designer on this. And this is the owner, Renee Koch. I think you're familiar with him. Basically, we took this sad old building and kind of gave it a little character. It's ironic that we're trying to make it look a little more industrial and a little older than it's trying to be, something that it's not, with that shiny blue tile roofing on it. And there's a bunch of brickwork along here that we would like to remove up front here as well. It's actually not real brick. It's just a veneer. So there's really nothing authentic about that. So I think with some, we brought some materials in that we want to use, we're proposing to use. And it's got, on the elevations, you kind of see it's got some little bit of a gold tint to it.
That's the back where I did a mock-up. You can drive by and look at it.
And then
used
that.
The wood that I used, it's all reclaimed barn wood. Talks true dimension. Mm-hmm.
So we would like to.
This is the roof I want to use.
Put we'll, that up
we'll
here.
Recycled tin. With the blue Chinese tile roof.
Right.
Not digging the blue, huh?
What are
you? It's a little dated.
I'll say
that. I don't know where they would find that. I don't know where they found that, but it's been there a long time. I think it needs a little bit of character change.
A furniture store in the 80s called the Blue Cow Furniture Store.
Oh, maybe that's why.
Put a roof on. Yeah.
Right.
I remember that.
That it was the Italian restaurant in the 70s, Don Vito's, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was R.P. Richards. Some of the corporate offices in the 90s when they bought it, all the way to 2000.
The psychic lady, is she over there?
She's next door. She's on the floor.
Right.
Yeah. Call me. She finally died last year.
Yeah, the sign is down.
Yeah. She didn't see that coming.
She couldn't help myself.
Part of this is we're gonna do some TIs in the interior. That's going under a separate permit. And there's a sample of the what we want to use. So this is a little more representative of that, and the computer didn't really blend in the colors as well as I'd like it to be. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
About this one. It looks like the roof is a dark gray and it's listed as a charcoal gray. Are you going to be painting
the back of the roof? We put a new roof on this winter.
Oh, yes. Please turn your mic on.
Oh, it's on. Oh, him.
We put a new roof on.
Touch the metal. Bingo. There you go.
I put a new roof on this winter, but you can only see that from the back, from the alleyway. You can't see it from the street. The back of this building is an alleyway.
Would that be this roof back here?
Right.
Yeah, well, actually, you can see this.
This is the back of the building.
It's
this area right here.
Yeah.
That's a mock-up I did, and you can see the roof. You can see the gray presidential comp.
Along here. Okay, so this is what you re-roofed, all that.
Yeah, I did everything is done except this front tile. The blue tile is on its left.
Okay.
But everything else is done in a charcoal gray.
Okay.
And so the sample that you brought us is a little bit lighter gray. Are you planning on coloring it?
Gray. This is on the front.
Okay.
Bill, this is what will face Hollister.
Can you put that down so that you can?
On the thing. Mm-hmm. Will you be painting it or coloring it in any way, leaving it with the patina?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All your questions? Yeah. Dennis, do you have any questions?
No.
And or comments?
I'll defer for the moment.
Okay. Tom?
Yeah, I just had one quick question. On the, and I'm sure it very well could be just the way the printer shows colors. And I see the mock-up. I see exactly what that's going to look like now with the sample,
exactly,
and now we got that. So I'm assuming that the the difference in coloration on the drawings here doesn't, we don't have to worry about that.
Right, right.
Because it's going to be front sides, it's all going to be that.
Oh, yeah, I got it. I have that enough wood to wrap the whole building. Yeah. 2,000 yeah. square feet.
All right.
The little square over here is more representative.
The only question I had. Thank you.
Bill?
I guess my one question just has to do with these improvements. Is there any change in runoff from the roof or drainage or anything like that?
Exact same frame, same slope.
Mm-hmm. Bill, do you have any comments, Ted?
Yes, I actually do have comments on this. I really like the look and the feel of the materials that you're using a lot. I recently attended a Chamber of Commerce-hosted forum on trying to improve some of the street fronts, storefronts in Old Town. And so when I saw this, I thought this is really a step in the right direction. So I just want to say that I do appreciate it when property owners, especially in Old Town, are willing to step up and significantly improve their property.
Thank you.
And I like the project. And I really don't have any criticisms of it. So that's why I was interested in the concept and design review issue.
Okay. Tom?
Okay. I can support this. I'd say it's definitely an improvement, especially the that mansard roof in the front and getting rid of that blue tile. The only comment that I got actually more applies to us as a board than to the applicant, and that is this is nice, but we should be careful that there's not too much of this style comes across into Old Town. Otherwise, it's going to start looking less like Old Town and more like a redo of Deadwood, South Dakota or something. So that's about all I can say. But as far as at this time and place, yeah, I can support this.
Noted.
Dennis? I'll pick up on Tom's point. Mr. Koch, aren't you the owner of the stereo store about a block or so away? When that project came through our review, it was proposed to be remarkably different than that image, which was never implemented, but this image was put on that building. So at least we know what we're getting. I would disagree with the other two. I'm not exactly crazy about this image, especially now that it will be reiterated. It's not so much the wood, which I could appreciate your mock-up is a lot more demonstrative than the drawing, which shows no window trims or other things. But I'm really not at all crazy about the rusted, corrugated mansard roof.
Yes?
Interesting. I didn't have any problems with it, and my concern was that it was going to be super hot, and you've sort of addressed those just because of the look. The printing looked really dark, but so I didn't have a problem with it.
When he did all that, I hadn't done the mock-up yet. I hadn't
picked
the wood.
I saw the mock-up today when I went by, so, and I think it looks good, and it's in style with the other buildings right around it, because those ones are all in that Old West style. I can see the a little bit of the fear of us going to being an Old West town if it keeps going, but I like this project, so that's where I stand. In the middle, right?
Okay.
Thank you.
I have, I guess I should have asked a couple of questions. I do have some, and that is, it didn't look to me like on your street elevation that you address, it looks like there are these corbels or outlookers.
Yeah.
Are those going away?
Probably. Maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure. There's so much rot on that building, I have to start cutting.
Yeah, they're in bad shape, those corbels.
I think they were rotten.
So I had assumed that they were just because of this. I have. Unlike Dennis, I actually love the roof. And I'm a little bit more conflicted about, I loved how the stereo place turned out, and now this is going to replicate it almost.
It is, but it's completely different wood. The stereo shop's all old red, worn off red paint. This is a real grayish.
Yeah, no, I got you.
You put these two up to each other, they're completely different.
What my concern about it is the execution of detail in terms of trims and, I mean, this is obviously a mock-up. I'm assuming you're not done yet. So, you know, getting trim around that and how that all, how your execution happens
I was wanting to duplicate what I've done there, nice and simple. I don't want everything to stand out and be bold. I could do that.
Well, no, I kind of want to make sure it's clean and yeah. and doesn't look like it's just thrown together. But I think conceptually I'm okay with that.
Have you gone and looked at that?
I haven't seen the mock-up, no.
I spent a lot of time. If you looked at it, you'd see it's furniture quality. It's the way I've hung it all, it's really not thrown together.
Okay.
And this is all going to get done in wood louvers. I just ran out of time for that. I had to snap that picture and get here.
I guess for me, I'm okay with it conceptually, but I would like to see more. I'd like to see the details. Since this is Old Town, I'd like to see the actual details of how the roof is going to be. Going to be done. I mean, I get that this is the material, yeah. But there aren't really, you know, these are kind of conceptual drawings, mm-hmm. And I'd like to see a little bit more how that's going to, you know, how that's going to work, how that's going to tie in back there.
Just kind of butt it in to the plaster.
Yeah.
Because all my waterproofing will be done when I take the roof off. I'll just, you know, the roofer will. With the waterproof membrane.
I get you.
I'm just going to use this as a facade.
I get you. But I'd like to see, you know, the window trim detail, how it's gonna wrap in there. Like I said, I mean, I'm okay. I could support this.
I would do it just like that.
Okay.
I would exactly like that. It's about a 1-inch reveal that rolls back into the window and has the same reveal in there. It's actually 2 inches, and that's about 2 inch also.
That's great. That's great.
I'd like to see some window details.
Yeah, I'd like to see door window and roof, okay. You know, trim details
And it'll be the same material.
Yeah. I'm okay with the materials. I'm okay with the materials. But those are my comments.
Can I kind of go along with a little additional comment on this?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I'm totally agree with Scott about having some window details. One thing I would like to suggest, and it's just a suggestion that you look at it, is when you're working on the window trim, you've made a real broad stroke look here of a building that's been there for a very long time and has gone through the vagaries of time and weather, and it's kind of weathered looking, so it's an older building like it would have been around, say, turn of the century. And window detailing back then was not as simple as this. Window detailing was not as simple as what you have on here. And in the interest of trying to give it, if you're trying to push it in that direction, a little bit more detail on the window trim would be in order. Like perhaps, you know, maybe in some cases there might be a small projecting piece that runs across the top. Maybe the outer edges here of the top piece kind of protrude like a, you know, a little, like a couple fractions of an inch past the side, things like that.
I do that a lot. I just kept the back of the simple.
No, I understand.
I would actually
even entertain, you know, maybe some bigger wood around the windows or
right.
All I'm saying is
have a look at period buildings mm-hmm. that are made out of wood and how the doors and windows are framed around it. You might have a good case in point. You might go to the Stowe House and go look at the bunk building, which sits behind the house itself. I mean, the house itself, it's all Italianate and Carpenter Gothic. But the building behind it is a 19th century building. It's wood,
mm-hmm.
and it's more of the same fashion as this. In other words, it looks like it started life as a utilitarian building of some kind. Have a look at the door and window trim around that. You might get some ideas there.
Okay. Thank you.
I just think being, you know, in Old Town and being right on the street, I think, you know, understanding the level of detail to the next step is important. But I think conceptually,
how did the board feel about those corbels? I mean, I'm not sure if they add anything to this new style.
No, I don't think...
They're not structural, cut them off. I think they're rotten.
Yeah.
I'm not married to them at all.
Not either. How far out does that overhang over the sidewalk?
Does it hang over the sidewalk?
It's
about, you know, 24 inches.
All right, so
maybe,
it's not that much.
Yeah, maybe yeah. 30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it was really deep, then maybe something would be in order, but it's not really all that mm-hmm. deep.
Okay.
Now, on this metal, I can get different degrees. Less rusty, more rusty, you know. You like that?
Can you show it again?
Here. I like this side okay. much better.
Good. Because I hand pick all that stuff. So I like that also a lot. This is too much rust.
All right. Do we have enough to anybody else want to comment on anything?
I would just like to say one last thing. I really appreciate all the comments that were made from particularly everybody else other than me because of your expertise. And I learned a lot from listening to what you have to say. And I agree with Member Smith's comment about proliferation. I mean, this is one style, and it suits itself here, but really probably shouldn't be replicated perhaps anywhere else. But I mean, if you have opportunities next door as a property owner to upgrade the next building, I assume you'll look at it in totality.
If this goes easy, I would love to take that whole front block and do something with it. I gave up in the stereo shop because it wasn't worth the headaches of all, hey, try this, try that. I said, forget it, I lost interest. Something else, and then I just came back and said, I just throw some different building materials on that. But I would like to do those other buildings, and I have no idea what I want to do to them. But I did paint the front of the thrift store recently in a charcoal gray. I think that looks good. The front of that Enterprise building, I would like to do something there. So I'm glad you guys like this because this is easy for me. So,
all right.
As far as moving forward, there's a couple options. So you could continue it with comments or have grant design review and have final review done with staff and a board member of your choosing, or those are your couple of options.
I'd be a little bit more inclined to at least for the three architects on the board to be able to cast their eyes on the details. I think that would be wise.
I'll be happy to do that.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Great. Thank you so much.
Want to make a motion, someone?
Sorry, so that was final review with staff and the three architects? Is that what you said? Or
can we do it that way? Can we, like, I sort of think it would be better to get us... come back to the next
meeting.
Yeah,
full board.
What I'm hearing is that you're wanting to continue it to take a look again.
Exactly. Wanted to make sure.
So the next meeting would be August
8th. Words.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'd be more comfortable with that. I can't speak for everybody else, but
I will make a motion then for continuance with comments.
And will the comments only be on the window details or?
Providing
I believe so, yes.
window and roof details?
Yeah.
Okay. That's really what the concern is.
So you know what he's looking for, roofing mm-hmm. details? You like how we're going to cap the top?
Yeah, he knows. Flash the top. He knows totally. Mm-hmm. Tony knows totally, yeah.
And Daryl can provide you the minutes, or at least drop minutes. Okay. I made some notes.
With the also with in the comments that also noted that the board generally likes the style and thanks the owner for his work in upgrading this building.
You get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Abstain.
One abstention.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, ladies.
Mr. Chair, may I ask through Board Member Whalen what the reason for abstention? Or you...
In general, I don't support the design proposal. I don't think that it meets the guidelines of the Old Town, specifically number two, a high quality of design and materials.
Okay. So at the next meeting, we would like you to cast a, you know, yes or no on. Thank you.
Okay. And that takes us to item G2.
Item G2 is for design review. It's the revised landscape plan for Cajun Kitchen facade improvements located at 6025 Cali Real, APN 077-170-025, case number 17-076-DRB.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Brian, nice to see you. And everybody visited the site already?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Same?
No additional site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit and ex parte conversation with Richard Jimenez, the owner, one of the owners, this afternoon.
If that matters.
Hi, it's me again. Okay, so we have a revised landscape proposal in front of you today. You may recall that the board had approved a project on this site a few months ago that included some facade improvements for the building and a landscape plan. Since then, the applicant has proposed some changes to that landscaping plan that revolve around a recently removed ficus tree that was on the south elevation. So to account for that, I believe it's three new trees have been proposed.
Two
new trees have been proposed in that area to account for it. And so what's in front of the board today is just landscaping again, so the rest of the project runs as approved and has not changed.
Okay.
So we've got Paul Poirier here to present the project.
Yeah. So first, we would like to request that you allow us to submit an alternate landscape plan from the one that you have, because we met with Bill Spiewak out at the site, and he made some good recommendations regarding the tree placements that we're proposing to do. And so we wanted to be able to share with you Bill's report on the type of tree and the condition of the existing tree that's remaining that was near the tree that was removed, as well as his recommendations for long-term tree placement, if you will, on the site. So I guess that's my first request, because we no longer want to get this plan approved.
So you have a different plan?
But we weren't allowed to send it because we had it done last week, but we weren't 2 weeks before the meeting. So they said we could allow you to, you could request that you guys allow us to show you the alternate plan, which is virtually the same plan. We just moved one tree back over to where the tree used to be instead of two trees in the corner.
Okay.
So it's that's up to the board if they want to accept the new plans. I believe he does have enough copies for both the table and as well as the public public desk over there.
Oh, yeah, we got lots. So here's Bill's report, which Bill Spiewak is the arborist.
Real quick, can you outline for me like a couple of bullet points, the difference?
No doubt.
How about that?
Real quickly, there were two ficus trees right here. There's three ficus trees on the site, one here, and one here. Now, let me tell you the story first. Sorry. Let me tell you the story so everyone gets it straight in terms of what has actually happened here. We have a general contractor who's under contract to construct the development plan improvements, the exterior and the interior, one single contractor. I'm the architect for the exterior working for the shopping center, Fairview Shopping Center. I'm also the architect for the interior working for the tenant to do the inside. What has happened is on around June 12th, the owner of the shopping center was up because we're planning, just so you know, redoing landscaping and facelifting over at Fairview Shopping Center because that's 15 years old, and he wanted to come over and check on how the construction was going over here because they're a little behind schedule. They were supposed to open on July 5th. We came over, we talked about the trees, we just spent I would say $6,000 pruning the three ficus trees in question to make them look beautiful maybe about 6 or 8 months ago. So we've been investing in these trees to make sure they're healthy and not just overrun or dangerous. So the owner of the restaurant said, hey, will you pay to take these three ficus trees out? They're dropping a ton of leaves on the roof, and they do. Every week they have to basically take out about 6 inches to a foot of leaves on the roof, and they're dropping a bunch of berries on the brand-new parking lot, and they're all get tracked inside the restaurant. And the owner said, no, I will not pay to take those out because we spent a fortune on making this restaurant so nice. But if you want to take them out, you can do that with your own tree people, and you can go down to the city and get your permits to take those trees out. But I'm not paying Paul or our landscape architect to deal with it. So subsequently to that, sometime around the middle of June, before June 23rd, the tree pruner slash frequent customer of the Cajun Kitchen said, hey, dude, I can give you a bro deal. I'll got a great price to take these trees out for you. It'll be no problem. So we went down, we said, Richard told him, you have to get all the permits because Paul and the owner said, provide us with the permits for taking the trees out. The guy went down to the city, talked to somebody at Public Works and said, I'm here to pull permits to take these trees out. So when Public Works said, are the trees in the public right away? He said, no, they're in the middle of the site. He said, you don't need a permit to take those out. So he subsequently disrupted my general contractor, made us move all the trucks out of the back of the lot a few days before they were trying to open. Made my contractor furious. He said, what are you doing? We're trying to finish the inside of the restaurant to get it open. You've got made all the contractors move their trucks. Started pruning the tree. Next thing you know, everybody is up in arms because we have revised the landscape plan for the development plan for the project. So the project's been red tagged. They weren't able to get their C of O. They're not able to open. And now it's my problem because I'm the only one who can resolve it. So in spite of the owner not wanting me to deal with it, I'm here now with a revised landscape plan from Arcadia Studio. I have Bill Spiewak, who does a lot of work for Fairview Shopping Center in terms of the trees, and we've also talked to Arbor Tree Services, who will be doing the remediation on the trees, so we don't have frequent customers doing the work that we're proposing to do. We have the legitimate guys who've been doing the work on the trees the whole time for us. So our proposal that, unfortunately, this tree was taken out without...
Let me stop you real quick.
Yeah.
I want to go back to, like, a couple of bullet points.
Sure.
What's different between this and this?
Okay. We were proposing putting two sycamore trees over here on the old plan because this is the prominent corner where everyone comes around. There's just kind of a perpetual homeless encampment over here. And we thought that a sycamore tree that has a tap root as opposed to a surface root will do less damage to the street infrastructure, utilities, and also the parking lot in that location. Mm-hmm. So after meeting with Bill, and I'll have Bill go through his arborist report, which you guys can all have a copy of that. You can all have copies of the new plan, too. We decided that it would be best to put a sycamore tree over here where the other tree was removed. And the reason being, this tree, in Bill's opinion, will need to be removed at some time. We don't need to remove it now. We're not proposing to remove it now. But if we plant another skyline tree over here, when this tree gets big, we'll be able to take this tree out without leaving a big void in kind of the treescape over there. And we deal with ficus trees. We have about 12, maybe 10 of them across the way in the parking lot. They're brutal. They need root pruning. They need to be pruned $2,000 maybe every couple of years to take the canopy out. But we can live with them if we have to. But this one is so close to the building that some of the pictures in the arborist report will show it's growing under the foundation. We're cutting in here for work on the sewer. We found roots. We're cutting over here. We found roots. So that thing has, like, just, it's got roots in the parking lot. This one destroyed a part of the parking lot. We had to rebuild. So long story short, we want to make the remaining tree safe short term. And Bill has outlined what we need to do in terms of trimming the existing remaining canopy so that we don't have a hazard on the south and the west side from a lopsided canopy that used to be supported by the tree that was removed. And we're proposing to put two new sycamores in, one down here on the corner and one over here, and get the restaurant open.
So in terms of this plan and this plan, mm-hmm. if I'm understanding correctly, the difference is that the one we've already looked at has two sycamores here,
yeah.
and this one has one here and one here. Here.
224 box inch.
That's the difference between the two plans?
Yep.
I totally accept allowing this to be a substituted.
Yeah. And that was at Bill's recommendation. He had a great idea about spreading the trees apart and having that one hopefully in the short term, because there's sort of a natural creek between the overpass and the site. There's like a little river thing back here. Hopefully the sycamores will thrive there. We planted some on the back of Fairview Shopping Center 15 years ago, and they're like very tall right now. So, I mean, those things will do good.
Okay.
And then specifically, the recommendation, I think, from planning, right, was that you weren't going to let us do anything to any of the other trees unless somebody approved it. Is it this board or is it someone else?
Yeah, so the landscape plan is proposed to be revised. And until that is approved, then nothing can happen.
So the existing tree, you can see how lopsided it is.
Do you want me to do this?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Bill. Taking your thunder, dude.
I think I could be more clear on what's going on. Can I have the pointer? I like that. I'm in a power position now. Okay. So when I was called out there, this is what remains because the tree was taken out. One view is looking east and one view is looking west. And you could see in the top picture, you could see where the other tree was removed. Mm-hmm. And because these two are so close, they're basically co-dominant trees. So they don't grow with nice even canopies. They grow close together. And as a result, when this tree came out, there wasn't really anything on the side. And now this is exposed to the wind. It's heavy on this side, as you can see. And I got two perspectives. So I was suggesting that this be pruned, take off some of the limbs over here to balance with the other side. And then what I anticipate happens is that over time, hopefully within a year or two, this tree then sprouts. Oh, the other thing was I wanted to have this thinned. So there's a lot of small branches in here, and I believe that there's too much wood in this tree, that it needs to be thinned to take out a lot of these smaller branches, you know, the 2-inch branches. So thin this out so it has a better structure. Then what will happen is this should sprout, develop a lot of shoots on the interior because everything's been stripped out over the years and the canopy is just on the top. Then once this gets new shoots, then the ficus can be reduced somewhere in here. And so it looks more proportional. In the meantime, we have the other sycamore growing here, and hopefully it will grow over, and this tree, rather than growing very close to the sycamore, can be subordinated to allow the sycamore to grow wider. and then eventually remove this tree for the reasons on the next page. As you will see, let's go to page four. Are you on page four?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can see how the roots are undermining the foundation here. You could see the roots that are going underneath the slab. And if you know ficus trees, which probably most of you do, they're pretty invasive with their roots. So there keeps damaging the building. It's been there for a long time, but I guess it's never been stopped before. But there was some root pruning done, and this just supports what I'm telling you. As we turn this page, on page five, you'll see a closer view of the root underneath the slab here, and you'll see that this is a communications box. It's growing into here, and this was root pruned along this, it's kind of hard to look at yours upside down, along here. So it's a tree that needs to be continually root pruned to avoid more damage. If you go back to the last page four, you can see that already. Once, I don't know how many times because I don't really know the history of the building, but if you look at the bottom photo, it may be hard to see clearly from the photo, but you can see that the concrete slab along here was replaced along the building because it was lifted, and it's been replaced, and you can see it's kind of bowed again under the door. So that is a process that keeps happening. So eventually, I don't think we're here to talk about taking the tree out today and planting that 10 years down the road or 5 years or 2 years. I think what we're here to discuss is pruning to balance with a plan for new growth, to reduce the size of the tree, and then see about taking the tree out after that if it's not creating a problem. I will probably have to revisit this in the future. So I don't believe Paul is asking to take it out today for 2 years from now or 3 years from now. I think it's just the process of starting to do the pruning.
Okay.
And to see how it develops. Maybe in the future, if it can come out and there's a lot of room, maybe you put another sycamore in. But there'll be more options, I think, at that time.
I think we just had to replace all the building sewers with new, so there won't be any leaking down there that'll be attracting it under the building. So I guess we're just going to sit and wait and see what happens, and hopefully lack of water under the building footprint. Maybe the old sewer leaked a little bit, and it was like the perfect spot for it to want to grow new roots. And if we deprive it of moisture down there, maybe it'll grow towards the creek. Who knows? But I think that Bill's plan of putting the other sycamore over there makes some good sense, because if it is a problem, it's a contingency plan to have a skyline tree between it and the roadway.
Okay. All right, great. Before we go further, I have three speaker slips here. And the first one is, forgive me if I botch the names, is this Bian?
Yes.
Dotto?
Is this it?
There you go.
Okay. Hi, I'm Beanne Dado. First of all, I just want to clarify, I believe that the red tag actually was just on the trees and not the building, so I want to clarify that. I have looked at these trees for approximately 11 years. I drive by them almost every single day and admire the heck out of them. They are two of the most gorgeous trees. I'm specifically talking about the one that was cut down and the one that was next to it. And it was heartbreaking for me to have one of the trees cut down. So I want to express that. I wish that there was a tree ordinance here in Goleta. I'm sorry that there's not. I would like to know what happened that somebody asked for a permit and and was told that they didn't have to have one. That ball was dropped, I believe. And also the other thing that I don't really understand is my understanding on sycamore trees is that they're notorious for being really messy and also causing foundation problems. So why would you go from one tree that causes those problems and having an issue with those going to another tree that does the exact same thing when you already have this most amazingly beautiful tree that's there right now? And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have, is it Richard Foster?
Thank you. I'm Richard Foster. I do like Cajun kitchen food, but I don't like what they do with the trees. You know, my understanding from Public Works is that somebody called up and or what came in and said, do I need a permit to cut down a tree on private property? And they said no, but Bob Morgenstern said, however, it may be a condition of your permit. Okay, so I don't know who can't read, but the issue here is, can developers give the finger to whatever the city says you're supposed to do? Not cutting down the trees was an original condition of the permit. Maybe we have illiterates here, I don't know, but it shouldn't be that hard to check your permit before you start chopping trees down. Miraculously, they're going to cut it down on a Saturday. This is the oldest trick in the world. I'd like to ask, was the guy cutting the tree even licensed, permitted, and bonded? He told the person who inquired that he did have a permit. So why is one person lying about getting a permit? Then we turn around and hear a sob story how we don't need a permit. If he thought he didn't need a permit, he would have just said that instead of lying and saying he did. I Googled sycamore trees. First three articles all say sycamore trees are big, beautiful trees. Use them as street trees. They all have horrible invasive roots. So as she said, I don't know why you think that replacing one with the other is a good idea. The question is, are we going to make developers abide by the conditions they said, or are we going to let them go and vandalize trees or whatever it's they want to do, and then come back and say, oh, mea culpa, you know, I'm really sorry, let me put a 6-foot tree. Personally, I think they should have to go get themselves a 40-foot ficus tree, dig a hole, and put it back in there, because that was the condition under they went. If they don't, then their whole permit should be reviewed, and they shouldn't get a certificate of occupancy until they've restored it to the condition that they agreed to have the property in. Instead of just chopping another tree back, why not install bracing to support the tree? If you're going to vandalize one tree and you hurt another tree, you don't solve the problem by cutting the other guy's leg off. You know, that there's bracing that can be put in there. This is not like this suddenly miraculously appeared and somebody walked out there and said, oh my God, the roots are breaking up my parking lot. You know, it was there when you acquired the project. It was there when a condition of the project was to preserve the trees. That was the time to come back with a landscaping plan and say, you know what, we see problems here, and we want to do something about it. Now is not the time to rewrite it and change the rules and go back. I urge you to say, put a comparable size tree back in there. Thank you.
Thank you. And lastly, is it Jesse Alstaff?
Hi, I'm Jesse Altstadt. I'm a resident. I live about 400 meters or so from the trees and the missing tree. And I completely support what the previous speaker said, and I'm not going to try to repeat all of what they've said. But I also consider the existing tree and the tree that's now just a horrible mutilated stump as my favorite street trees or neighborhood trees in Goleta. And I feel personally violated when I discovered, when I pulled up at that intersection the other day and I saw that the tree was gone. It's the only good part about driving over Fairview is to look at those two trees and to see the morning light come through and the evening light and the blue, purple, the mountains, you know, in the branches. I'm very unhappy about, especially hearing now that potentially your plan is to take out the final tree and to make it smaller. And it's like, I mean, doesn't the viewshed of a project, I mean, it should be very important for people who drive by a business to be able to see it from all sides and to really appreciate the trees that are there. I mean, they're part of, I mean, I've been looking at those trees for 20 years. I just can't believe that you can cut it down and then come back and try to ask for permission to then take the other one out down the way. And especially with the sycamore, there's already been a sycamore taken out on private property in Old Town just because it was, you know, bumping up the sidewalk and the parking lot. And so, I'll just cut it short from there. But anyway, just as a really upset local resident, I just, I would not support any additional cutting on that one tree unless it's to actually preserve the tree. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Real quick, before we go to questions and comments from the board, I just want to toss this out as a citizen. I just want to address the audience, the public. As a citizen, seeing stuff like this happen can get you enraged and feel cheated, and I appreciate all that. And I support you coming to a public meeting and speaking your mind about this, and I think it's good that you came out and put it on record. But this particular board is an aesthetic board. We can't make enforcements. We're charged with addressing something aesthetically that's before us. So what got us to this point, we can't really do anything about. What we have to do is decide aesthetically if what they're proposing is appropriate. They're coming to us with a change to their development plan, and so we have to deal with that. So if we don't address your concerns, it's not because we're callous. It's because we're a specific board with a specific charge. So I just want to say that. And with that...
Can I say anything?
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate all you guys coming in and being concerned about it. We spend a lot of money making those trees look as good as they do because that parcel is actually part of the Fairview Shopping Center. We recently spent $6,000 on those three trees on the site to prune them to make sure they're healthy. So we've been taking care of them the whole time. And I can tell you that it's a lose-lose-lose for everybody involved in this right now. And to try to paint the developer as somebody who was trying to go around some secret agenda to take the trees out. The developer, owner of the shopping center, is a great local family that developed that place, and they did not have anything to do with hiring this tree pruner. The tenant of the place made the mistake of trusting the expertise of one of his frequent customers who said he could get a permit to deal with those trees. And we left it at that, and it wasn't under my direction. In fact, they didn't even notify us that they were going to be doing that. We said, it's fine as long as you get all the permits and approval from the city for whatever they have to do. But that guy screwed up. The guy who is the tree trimmer and the tenant of the business, the owners of the Cajun Kitchen, who hired this guy who's not very sophisticated or up on what he should be doing, as well as I think the county's a little bit accountable because if it's true, he claims that somebody told him he could chop the tree down without a permit. And that's totally incorrect. And I would know that if they had asked me, but they did not. So I guess that's my point. The owners of the shopping center are pissed off at the tenant for doing this. The tenant is, you know, beside himself for doing it because actually the CFO of the restaurant is being held up because of the tree. In fact, planning can back me up. We're ready to open. We cannot open the restaurant until this issue is resolved. So that, they shot themselves in the foot big time for allowing one of their customers to try to get some free breakfast out of them. I'm not sure what the deal was, right? It's the stupidest thing ever. I'm pissed. I'm supposed to be in Lassen as of last Saturday. I'm here today to deal with this. So I've been trying to get them their CFO so they can open this restaurant. Nobody at the city will inspect the place, sign anything off, take red tags down, because the mayor personally wants to make sure this gets resolved right. I personally want to make sure this gets resolved right. I care about the way that the city of Goleta gets handled, and I appreciate any help we can get. These guys, they're not a big corporation that doesn't care about the local place. These are local guys with a local successful business, and they just made a mistake with a misunderstanding from the city. And hopefully we can all do the best we can to resolve this. If we got to keep the ficus tree because you guys care enough about it, and you know the board tells us that it's a great specimen and we got to keep it, we'll figure out a way to root prune that side or something to keep it there. You know, I mean, It's not like we're going to go in the middle of the night and chop that thing down. We have like 10 of them across the street at Fairview Shopping Center. They're very difficult to deal with, but we've been dealing with them. We got pros like Bill. We got pros like Arbor Tree Services that does our tree pruning to keep all the trees healthy that can be. We have some trees that are not healthy at Fairview Center, but we're going to be coming in with a new landscape architect and with Bill's expertise and proposing some alternate species for some of the cork oaks that are having some problems, some kind of caterpillar or something. I don't know what's going on with those, but you know. Anyway, that's all I have to say. But I appreciate you guys caring about the community too, because I could say all the people involved, as unfortunate of an event as this is, all the people involved do care about the way the place looks, the way the city is, beautifying things, you know, investing in the infrastructure of the city to make this a better place.
Also, one, well, I'll go on. Bill, do you have questions?
Thank you, Chair. I do have a couple questions, but more comments when we get to that. This is a question for staff. Did the DRB approve any tree removal at the last meeting?
No, the approved landscape plan retained those trees specifically.
And what was also proposed were two sycamore trees back in the corner?
That came in the revised submittal.
An original, and so that was two, and now it's one.
Still two, it's just one is in the corner and one is where the old ficus tree was.
Maybe for the applicant, is there a reason that you can't plant an additional sycamore tree? What was originally thought before this tree got chopped down while you're...
I think you misunderstand what Brian was trying to say. Brian was trying to say there were no sycamore trees on the original plan. And 2 weeks ago, we proposed putting two 24-inch box sycamore trees in the corner. But this week, or last week, we proposed moving one of them over to shelter the hole that's left from where the other ficus was.
Okay, so
net plus two 24-inch box sycamore trees from the approved plan.
What is the ratio of replanting when removing a specimen tree? 1-to-1?
Well, there isn't.
Can we ask for more than 1-to-1?
Yeah, there isn't a specific ordinance for it. When we have a larger project that would be a discretionary type project that would have an environmental document, there are certain CEQA thresholds that we can look toward in when we're doing a, say, a tree protection plan or a tree removal plan. But that's at the discretion of the decision makers in those cases. In this case, there isn't, being a ministerial project, there isn't a set ordinance that you can look to that we have.
So until this tree was removed, there were going to be two sycamores planted in the eastern corner? Just
there were no sycamores.
No, I'm not talking about the last plan. I'm talking about this current revised plan. The sycamores
came into play after that the tree was cut.
That we offered 2-for-1. We gave you two sycamore trees for the chopped down tree.
So at no time are there going to be two sycamores that were going to be planted in the triangular corner?
Yes.
Well, that's what they
that was
on the on
previous mitigation was to propose two sycamores in the corner. And then
so
after
now that a tree got cut down, you're going to take one of those out and just put it in the spot next to where the one got cut down?
There are no sycamore trees
there. I'm
not
sure you're understanding.
Yeah.
When we approved, when it came to us before, they were adding no trees.
Okay.
No trees were being removed, nor were they adding any.
Right.
In our packet that we just received to mitigate the removal of that ficus tree, in our packet we received that they were choosing to put in two sycamores in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Between then and today, he came in with a plan, and they're saying, rather than putting two here, we've decided we want to put one sycamore here and one here.
Okay, and
that's exactly
what I'm saying. Yes, and my question is, why not leave two sycamores and one so that you're planting three rather than two?
Whatever you guys want. You want three, you want 10, you want 30?
No,
you just tell me.
No, I'm not wanting to be facetious about that.
I'm,
I don't think three sycamores makes sense at all. But just wondering, there's kind of a situation here where a ratio of maybe more than 1-to-1.
We're currently at 2-to-1.
So could you go to 3-to-1 and plant and leave the two sycamores that would be nice in that corner, and additionally the one, because I have a feeling that other ficus tree is going to need to be removed at some time in the future.
I think in that corner there's an existing olive tree, palm tree, and one proposed sycamore tree. So there's like lots of trees now down there. So adding two sycamores to the corner doesn't seem like it would be a little crowded to me. The elm's over a little bit away. It's like in between, so it has some space.
But that's not on your right of way.
Right.
That's Caltrans.
Caltrans. But I mean, if it's just another tree, so you guys want a third tree, whatever, however you want to punish them, I guess we'll take the punishment, okay? How many, however many trees you guys want. I don't know what the ratio should be.
All right, okay. Noted.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Turn
your mic
roots
on, please.
Ficus are known to be surface rooters. Sycamores can be as well. But it's really about the soil. Soil really determines, and species, how roots grow. So sycamores are basically native trees that grow in creek beds. That's their environment. They're indigenous to creek beds. When they're put in landscapes where the soil is really compacted and in heavy clay soil, they tend to be more of a surface rooter. I didn't do any sampling here. I didn't have any involvement in selection of the tree. It's how to deal with what we have now to reduce risk to people because limbs are breaking. So the sycamore is a native, which is a good move. It is less of a surface rooter in sandy condition, in soil conditions that are not clay-like. I don't know what the soil conditions are, but it has a greater potential to root deeper if it's planted right and cared for properly with the proper irrigation.
Thank you.
Chair, I did have one more question for staff.
The second ficus tree, you just turned your mic off.
The second ficus tree would need to be removed at some point in time. How would that be handled?
Well, as we've had this in the past, we don't have a tree ordinance, so the leverage that we have on this particular case is that it was a part of a permit that involved the building as well, right? So we had an approved plan set that had a landscape plan. Theoretically, unless between now and then a tree ordinance is approved, if they just came in to remove the tree, we wouldn't have any jurisdiction. If they came in and proposed other work to the building that triggered a land use permit of some sort, we could then require that we look at the landscaping as well and approve a plan.
So if that second ficus tree were to be removed in the next 2 to 10 to whatever number of years, there wouldn't be a requirement for a replacement tree?
Unless the ordinances, unless new ordinances are put in place, that's correct.
Wouldn't we need to conform to the landscaping development plan? Like at Fairview Shopping Center, I cannot go in and cut down all the trees that are not in the public right of way. I'll be violating the development plan. Just like this, now we have a development plan for the site. I can't chop the tree down unless I have a revised development plan. And if we do, and somebody says, hey, you cut that down, that's a violation of our development plan, we'll be right back here finding out how many more trees we got to plant to offset illegal modification of a development plan.
I guess I'm hearing something different. You've got
a development plan that would
require you going before the city before removing another ficus tree.
I believe so, but maybe he's telling me
different.
In
theory, what you're saying is correct, except I'm not 100% sure that this building is a part of that development plan for the Fairview Shopping Center.
This doesn't have a development plan that we modified to get this approval?
I'm going to jump in, Mr. Chair. First of all, there is no development plan. It's a land use permit that is that has been approved. And there's on the landscape plan that you're looking at today, if you approve it, you could specify that that tree removal will require future design review board approval. And that could be a condition.
Okay. Noted. Anything else, Bill?
No, thank you, Chair.
I got a question for you, Bill.
Yes, sir.
The sycamore that we're going to be putting by the remaining ficus tree down in the corner there. No.
Oh, right here?
Down over there. The original ficus tree that got taken down was providing support to the other tree. You're saying they used the word co-dominant.
Correct.
They leaned against each other in it.
They grew close to each other. They protected each other from outside forces like wind.
Okay. So I guess the question that I have is, with a 24-inch box sycamore, when it gets put in place, about how tall is something like that, or what kind of a spread does that have?
And not very big. And, I would assume it'd probably be about
how long would it
8 feet tall, six how, to 8 feet tall.
How long would it take to grow up to a sufficient height so that it could pick up the burden from where the original tree was?
I would say that trees and boxes generally take about a year to adapt, and then they can grow about 2 to 3 feet a year with adequate irrigation. So if you got 2 feet a year, in 5 years you get 10 feet or maybe a little more or a little bit less because of the adaptability time. So it's, but sycamores are relatively fast growing trees, and often when they're young, sometimes they grow even faster than 2 feet a year, but they do need an adaptation period. So it has to get used to that soil,
right.
Has to be irrigated properly, and then it take a little time, and then it could shoot up and even grow 3 feet a year or more for a few years. But then as it gets older, it slows down to about 2 feet a year.
Okay. In your opinion as an arborist, and you've been here for years and know far more about this than you've probably forgotten more than I'll ever learn, would it be more appropriate to get a bigger sycamore in there initially, something in a, and I don't know the different box sizes, how they come. Wouldn't it be more appropriate to have a more mature sycamore put in there right now, to kind of move that process along so that it fills in that space and does its work as a co-dominant tree?
I would say for immediate gratification, yes. Generally, a smaller tree will outgrow a larger tree after time. But a larger tree, people plant big trees all the time. I see it daily in different sites. And that may be even one larger tree and a couple of the smaller trees. I didn't really look at that. I was not, my assignment was not to deal with that. It was strictly to deal with this tree.
Right.
I don't know the spacing there of those two trees, but maybe it's reasonable to put the two smaller trees in there and put maybe a 48-inch box sycamore in here, if that would be better. I don't want to spend people's money on that. But,
don't the bigger ones get root bound, Bill, because they're in a 48-inch box and they don't tend to do so well after time, that a smaller one will be healthier because it's a taproot tree?
Not necessarily. It's about the way it was grown. And if you get it from a reputable nursery like Valley Crest down, or Brightview down in Santa Paula has a system. They're using state-of-the-art type of growing conditions and are able to grow nice trees where they're not root-bound. Mm-hmm. But you can get a small tree that's root-bound in a 15-gallon container and it won't grow for 20 years. So that may be a more reasonable thing to do. I think the sycamore is a great tree and it's fast growing, but soil is really where it's at.
I see. Okay, thank you.
This tree, I understand that a large ficus tree is more beautiful than a small ficus tree, no doubt. But unfortunately, the way this tree has grown and with the one that was next to it, they supported each other so they could have this much taller canopy and be less risk. Mm-hmm. The way it is now, if you look at that picture of that tree, you see these branches that are probably 30 feet, 40 feet long with nothing, and then all the weight at the top.
Okay. One other question. Looking at on page 3 with the proposed work being done on the ficus tree, on the spot where it says possible future reduction pruning, you were talking about mainly just going through there and the smaller branches, the 1 to 2 inch branches, and thinning that out. Would the crown be, after that thinning, would the crown still be where it shows in the photograph? Or we're not talking about just like cutting everything off where the yellow dotted line is, right?
No. What I'm suggesting is, at this point, go reduce the growth on the south side,
right.
Number one. Simultaneously, go through the tree and remove some of the smaller interior branches so there's less wood. That should stimulate sprout growth on the interior of the crown.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the sprout growth gets dense enough, we could come in and then reduce these longer branches so there's a nice crown, right. Not cutting it to stubs, but cutting it to green foliage.
Right.
I put the line there to show where possibly that could be.
Right.
I don't know for sure that's exactly where it's going to be, but I, based on my experience, mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good guess.
Okay, so this isn't just, you know, a buzz cut. This is a lot of work over time, just
right.
to thin it out.
It's a process, right? So initially reducing the weight and thinning the smaller diameter branches.
Okay.
Wait for the tree to grow back mm-hmm. and recover with a dense crown, which it should,
mm-hmm.
and then at that time make a decision. And it may not be, maybe it'll only be 3 feet, but the idea is it's almost like a hedge. When you cut a hedge back, it grows out.
Mm-hmm.
So as you allow, and you get more growth on the interior, and then you can slowly reduce it. It's really oversized right now and by itself.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have any more questions, Chair.
Okay. Dennis?
Just a quick question for Mr. Spiewak. Do you think there's sufficient separation from the existing ficus for the sycamore, knowing that ficus are notorious for reducing any growth within their litter?
I think that there. My idea was, I was thinking if the sycamore gets bigger, if it's allowed to spread, you slowly subordinate or you reduce the crown of the ficus to allow the sycamore to get bigger. So that, again, is a process. It's not something that happens in a day or a year. Or, you know, it could take multiple years. I'm not really sure. You're saying that you're concerned about understory planting or?
Yes. Yeah, so these ficus trees, and my limited knowledge, restrict anything from growing underneath them. My question to you is, is there sufficient room for the sycamore to be planted adjacent and expect its success?
I believe so. I think one of the reasons why they suppress understory growth is because they're very dense, so they don't allow much light in. But the sycamores are more to the south, so they'll get a lot of sun exposure. And also, if the litter is kept down to a reasonable amount, can allow things to grow, you know, when you just get this dense canopy and no light underneath. But I think there's plenty of room for that.
Karis?
I have a question for you as well.
Is your mic on?
No. There we go. Little green light. So as far as you know, there's no allelopathic for the ficus.
Correct.
Okay, so it's simply a canopy issue. More tree ordinance restoration. That's what it seems like to me. Are we at the talking part? Or are we just
sure.
at the questioning part?
No, go ahead.
I don't have that was my only tree. I do have a question, I'm sorry. If you cut off this one section, which I think actually would probably be better for this tree and thinning as well, because like you said, it'll bring the green down into the middle parts of it.
Oh, eventually. The thinning yeah. is not to reduce. The thinning is to take out a lot of that little small diameter.
That's not giving you much up on the top anyway.
Right.
Yeah. And now, so you take that down, and they did cut the roots to put in the new slab and to put in the new sewers, yeah? On yeah. the
no,
other side.
The ones that were underneath the building.
Yeah, the ones that were yeah. underneath the building on the other side of the tree.
Right.
And then we're going to have to remove the stump of the old ficus, yeah, so that the new tree has a place to grow, correct?
Probably
pretty deep too. Those guys are all there. Do you think this ficus can survive?
Yes.
All of those reductions, you're planning to do them over a significant period of time, not
if,
just
if you drive down Carrillo Street, Milpa Street,
yeah.
Annapamu, Canon Perdido, and most through San Luis Obispo, downtown, almost every city in Southern California, Central California, you'll see ficus trees as street trees, and the abuse that the roots get is unbelievable. But then some do fail, so it does happen. And in fact, in Goleta, south of Hollister, in that where the, I don't remember the street, where the Goodland Cafe is.
Yeah.
Familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at those trees. Mm-hmm. When I was a contract arborist for the city of Goleta, I monitored a project. They were doing some pruning, and those trees grew back within a year, and they were just pruned again by another by a contractor. So they were just completely out of hand.
Yeah. Would this ficus grow back, the stump?
It could. It could sprout out, but then you really have a mess. Because then you have all these shoots that are attached, and you wouldn't want that thing to get bigger than a few feet, because then you have a lot of weakly attached limbs.
Okay.
So I don't recommend that.
And become a danger to people around.
It would be a really bad idea.
Okay. Well, I was sort of trying to lead you down that part of perhaps the restoration avenue of what happened and what the, you know, people's response and reaction to what happened. I think maybe we could have some sort of conditions on the approval of the plan if everybody's okay with it. You know, that the soil be very well, because you're going to have to dig up that tree anyway. So, I mean, maybe we can have nice soil amendments, which will make the sycamore.
You have what you have. You have what you have. You can amend soil, but that's for the present, not for the future. It's like keeping a child in your arms forever.
But you can uncompact soil.
You needed to get out into the real world.
Due to soil compaction of, you know, over the years and years of it being.
Well, I don't know if there's some. I don't know if there's so much soil compaction in there actually.
And it might be that when you go to dig it up, there isn't. But at least the possibility is that, you know, with the big machines coming in, and because to get a big box in there, you're going to need cranes and trucks and the whole deal, right? And all those things.
You're going to be able to drive on the road. And that's historically always been planter. So I'm not sure, short of just however compact dirt gets from just sitting there, really hasn't had any equipment on it.
Well, the good news, it's had a lot of leaf litter. So that helps that builds organic material in the soil, which is good for porosity and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, I never did a perk test to see how water perks through there. But
so
this is a good land, right, where you have good drainage and good growth.
Yeah, it's probably sandy soil. Well, it was originally, but I don't know what they put in there since then. So I guess I would just think that part of, you know, the Cajun Kitchen, they want people to be happy. And the tenants, they want people to be happy. And people are not happy. And so maybe one possible way towards restoration would be to have certain conditions on the planting and the size of the tree and maybe even have a pruning plan for the existing one that we know won't kill it, that is entirely intended to make it survive in a better, you know, condition, so that if it does grow up too high, it will break off those branches and they'll have to be removed. So the canopy that is there won't be there unless it's taken care of, which is what you're seeing.
Branches are breaking as we speak, and we are not allowed to prune them. So that is issue number one. Is they're falling down and breaking the Caltrans fence between the overpass and the building. So we want to make it safe, which is the circle.
Yeah.
And I think the arc is to keep the tree healthy.
Exactly. So these sort of conditions of the approval of the plan that, you know, we're going to modify the soil, we're going to uncompact it if it's compacted just by, you know, scraping it up with the new modifications and the... I know you're laughing at me, but I'm just saying you're showing people that you care about what they care about, and that it, you know, you're willing to make restitution here, and this is, you know, the best way that I could come up with right now, and that you guys could come up with over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're not going to like decompact the entire root zone of this tree, but they'll grind out the stump, which is generally the grinders go down about 12 to 18 inches, and then they'll come in with a backhoe and dig out the hole twice the size of the box, which is what it should be, and then put the tree in there and backfill, and it should be able to adapt and survive and move into the surrounding soil with proper irrigation. And I don't think you'll have a problem with that.
Yep.
Did it?
Yep, that's all.
Also, just for the record, we have Arbor Tree Services to give us a proposal to put the two trees in, because that work will be now under the supervision of the property owner, not the tenant. Okay. So we're using the guys that do the work on trees, that are experts like Bill, on making sure they're going to thrive, and it will be at the expense of the tenant.
Okay.
One final thing, can I say? Yeah, I think sure. If you look at the ficus, which is in the planter in the parking lot mm-hmm. that exists, it's not as big as this one, and it's got a nice canopy. It's a really nice tree. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because it's grown singly rather than with one next to it to stimulate more of this higher growth, and it just has a nicer, smaller canopy. But it's still a big tree, and it's doing a good job. So,
noted.
And how long has it been since they cut the roots on that one and put in the new curb?
Probably like 45 days, something like, well, maybe less, maybe 30 days, something like that. But I think they did, well, I take that back. I think they did root pruning when they started construction maybe 6 months ago. So one of the first things we did was, once we were starting construction, we got the tree guys in to do root pruning on the small tree, because we had to rebuild the curb because it had grown out of a 5-foot planter and taken over about 20-foot diameter of pavement destruction. And so we had arbitrary services at the expense of the shopping center prune the canopy and at the same time do some root pruning so that we could pour a new curb that wasn't destroyed around it. And what we ended up doing actually is acknowledging that they're going to destroy whatever we put there. We actually changed that out to put in a wooden curb that's driven in with stakes so that as the tree moves, we can take it out, root prune, put it back, make it level, because the trees are just dominating us. There's no way to stop those things.
Right. That's it? Yep. All right, I'd like to read a comment for the record from the landscape architect from our board, Aaron Carroll, who reviewed not this plan, but the one previous to it that had the two sycamores there. But he said, his comment is, I can understand the initial shock of a big ficus tree being removed, but ficus nitida is not a native tree, nor is it a protected tree. I think in the long term, two native California sycamores will be much better than the native ficus, and the California sycamore is a fast-growing tree, so it will get large fairly quickly. I can support this change. I think the replacement sycamore should be at least 24-inch box size. 36-inch might even be better. So that's his comment. Anybody else with any comments here? Go ahead, Bill.
I guess this is kind of a what if. We move forward and say that as a condition of approval that where the other ficus next to the building need to be removed, that there would be some sort of replacement ratio. And just asking the applicant, if we were to condition that and if that were to happen, where would be the best place to plant a replacement? Do you have any idea of where that might be? And knowing that, would you be willing to just go ahead and do it now?
I think the best place would be to put it in the triangle where there's a big landscape triangle right where the tree is now. And I mean, if we took, I'd say your best bet so that you guys are happier and the community is happier, not if you give us leeway to do whatever we want in the future, make us come back to the DRB if we want to remove that tree, make it a condition of our approval. We're happy to do that. If we took out that huge ficus, it might be nice to put two new sycamores there 10 years from now when that other tree's 30 feet tall, you know? Who can say? Well, we're going to try to manage that thing and do what we can to make sure it doesn't destroy the building in the meantime. And we're cool with that. I think everybody on site and off site, the owners of the property, are sick of dealing with these trees right now, and they just want to get the business open, you know?
Yeah.
Try?
A motion? Certainly.
Okay. I propose that we approve the new replacement plants, trees, sycamore trees, on the conditions that there be the pruning plan, as we discussed, for the existing ficus, the reduce the growth on the one side, remove smaller branches, and then eventually reducing the crown to bring the bring it down, also as well as planting conditions being met, the soil amendments and uncompaction, irrigation, and the final condition being no removal without permission. Does that sound like something everybody can...
Maybe. I'd rephrase that last part. Maybe no removal without permission. I'd say
how about no
return to the DRB.
The design review board.
Yeah.
No. Okay. The any tree removals will be brought back to the DRB board before.
Okay.
Proceeding.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I would suggest that the planting be done according to best management practices for the industry, because they're designed to plant trees properly. Because you're making some assumptions, like you said, to decompact the soil and do all these things. And a lot of that is not what somebody's, it's not clear. There are best management practices out there published by the International Society of Arboriculture that people should follow. They were designed to properly install trees, and the large part of the public has no idea what those are. And I'm just saying they exist.
Yeah, well, digging your hole twice the size of the
That's part of it, and putting
it down.
Would you be willing to amend that to
best management practices that UCSB uses?
Well, that they...
I'd be willing to use their best management practices, but not just any old one you grab off the internet, because it's definitely...
No, there's the International Society of Arboriculture has developed best management practices for tree planting.
Sure,
which
and based
is,
on where you get the tree, too. It sounds like these guys have a specialized way of growing their larger trees.
Well, I think Brightview Nursery, formerly Valley Crest, is a great nursery.
And if they recommend doing it in a certain way that's going to make the tree live and grow happy, then that's all.
Well, they just sell them. They grow them and they sell them. They don't. But anyway.
Best management practices.
Can I ask a question before we...
Yes.
Bill, might that best management practice... our practices be, could they be enumerated in your arborist report? I think it would, from a conditions enforcement standpoint for the city, for staff, it might be easier if it was in a report that we could point to rather than more a nebulous standard that might be less familiar to other people.
It's a big, thick, not a big, thick, it's about a 20-page pamphlet there.
Okay.
Send him a link.
You have to buy it. They don't have it online.
No, but in your report, you
but
could
you refer
could,
to it.
You could reference it.
I could.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
That would help for conditions.
Yes.
Creation conditions.
Let the city buy their own manual.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe you should make them buy it for you.
Have the best management practices, but irrigation too. You guys are at least to get them going.
We have plantings all around here, and they've modified the irrigation system to existing system, like you said, water everything, so it's not a problem.
It should be monitored. I mean, I think you should monitor its growth, its health for a period of time. That's usually included in a lot of, I'm trying to give you some more work.
Okay. What about minimum replacement size? What about that?
Yeah, what was the replacement size that we... Aaron recommended 36.
The plan indicates 24 inch.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to go bigger? I mean, 36 would get you what, a 10 foot, 15 foot tree?
I think that I don't know what's out there. I mean, I don't plant trees, so I don't go to the nurseries. I mean, I'm a consultant, not a contractor. And you can look, you can ask for a certain size and see if it's available, but you want, it's more important that you get a tree with good form and structure than it is size. I mean, it all has to balance.
What about, first of all, it sounds like the applicant would probably be amenable to that, a 36-inch tree. So perhaps in your motion, the plan calls out 24-inch, perhaps you could, in your motion, if it's all right with you, you could reference 36 inches preferable, but it's based on the health of the specimen tree found.
Yeah, that would be in the BMPs, too.
Yeah.
They would say what trees should look like when you get them, and that kind of thing. Okay, so, yeah, I'll change that to be 36 inches in size, but depending on form and structure.
Okay. Minimum 24-inch, basically.
Oh,
what that's,
depending on whether it's
right,
the best tree.
Right, 36-inch. At least the plan says 24-inch.
24-inch.
So your motion is saying that we want 36-inch, but that's not available. It gives a baseline. So
maybe that could be the minimum. And then if that's not available, they can go bigger.
Okay, right.
It's just trying to...
Right.
You know, I mean, people, it's the skyline that was what was so compelling about it, and the shade. I sat at that intersection for, I think I beat all of you guys 30, 40 years now at the same intersection, and those trees are the only thing that shade you. Right. It's hot.
Right.
So, I remember going there as a kid when it was Rusty's, and that was the place to go. And those roots were all through the parking lot then. There was nothing. So.
All right, so.
It's good. So, do I have to re-say the whole thing, or can you guys just... No takers already have it. She's
but I think we need a second on it.
Wait, what was it, 36 or 24? I'm really confused.
It was 36 minimum. Oh. And if they can't find a 36, then bigger.
I wrote down it was 24 minimum, 36 preferable.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find one in 36.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're available.
They'll be there. So. Yeah.
Okay.
But also that it's, you know, the form and structure are good.
Right.
Because that's going to be what makes it ultimately grow or not. I mean, along the soil.
One issue with going with a bigger box tree that just occurred to me is that there's some utilities that run along the back property line. And it might, I don't know exactly where, but it's between the fence and where the tree is. Remember that, Bill? Those little red flags?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking that the big tree is wanted near the one that was removed to replace that space. So, I mean, maybe you could do 24 and 1. And
24 inch
on the other.
Here, 36 minimum here.
Or the other way.
No, the other way.
Or the other way around.
Yeah.
That's fine.
How's that for mediated?
Okay.
Yeah, we do that.
So where are we at now?
We need a second.
I'm not sure I followed by the...
Oh, you want me to read it again, huh?
Okay. Well, it's a little bit more cleaned up.
Okay. I move that we approve the plan and allow them to continue to open the restaurant on the conditions that they provide and follow the BMP for planting, stick with the pruning plan as we've discussed here today, including reducing the growth, removing the smaller branches, and then eventually reducing the crown once the infill has happened, and irrigation to put there, and any future removals of trees would come before the board for permission.
And specify which one's 24-inch and which one's 36-inch.
And the one near the removed tree will be a 36-inch box, and the one down the way could be a 24-inch.
Okay. I can second that with the addition that where it mentions the BMPs, that it's the best management practices of the International Society of Arboriculturists.
For Cal.
Rather than the best management practices of whoever.
The auto industry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Are you okay with that?
Sure, for California, as long as they're
specific
to our climate. Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, I can second.
Okay, any discussion?
Just under comments, Chair, I just said it is regrettable that this happened, and clearly you gentlemen didn't have anything to do with that. So you're kind of on the crosshairs as far as this goes. Just saying that this isn't the first time that things haven't gone according to plan here in Goleta. We've seen things come and go in that light, and so that's why maybe we're a little bit touchy, or maybe I was, about that as well.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Before you guys leave, is there a way that we can, how do we go about getting a tree plan? Is that a process?
I think you have a tree committee here, don't you?
Well, that goes with the development plan on a larger project.
Well, we had a street tree subcommittee at one time.
I'm going to give you the speaker slips. Can you hand these to Mary? Okay, with that, any announcements by members? Karis, you had a good idea at the beginning of the meeting. Turn your mic on.
If anybody's out there watching and you live in Goleta, come on down and join the design review board. We need one person who is a non-design professional.
At-large member.
At-large.
What we need is, under the current ordinance, we need four residents and at least two architects and two landscape professionals. Okay. Or actually, so it might be more than two architects.
Maybe one more architect.
I think it's two.
It's two.
That's two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe a design and a non-design.
We've just been
anyone interested should contact the city clerk for applications.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Chair, just to follow up on that, just to make it even easier, the city does a great job, and out on their website is the DRB application. If you want to apply for any boards or commissions with the city of Goleta, it's all listed there, and you just click it on and it brings up the application. So anybody who's been watching these things must be interested, so please consider this.
Noted.
And remember, it doesn't work without your input, so anyone out there, get involved. Thank you.
Any other announcements by anybody? All right, with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.
I dream each night you say each night.